Shalom Aleichem, everyone. I am giving this year as a recording of the Shabbat HaGadol Drasha that I just gave this past Shabbat, Tavshin Ayin Vav, the year 2016. I want to dedicate this year Le'ilui Nishmat, my grandfather, Saul Hirsch, Shalom and David, who just passed away this past summer. I'm thinking about spending many of my Yom Tovim and my Pesach Sedarim in my grandparents' house growing up. Started thinking about my grandfather and many grandfathers, many parents who find themselves as the heads of a family, who find themselves as the as really a patriarch of a family. And based on that image, I want to discuss today the issue that really serves as one of the central themes of the Seder, namely the questions of the four sons and the role of Chinuch in the Seder, and especially focusing on the Ben HaRasha. So I want to begin with a famous idea by Rav Chaim of Brisk. This idea of Rav Chaim can be found in many places, including the Brisker Haggadah. I'm going to read a passage from the Emek Bracha. Emek Bracha is written by Rav Arizev from Ranchik, was Talmud of the Brisker Rav. And there he quotes Rav Chaim that said that, of course, we have a daily mitzvah of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering on a daily basis the exodus from Mitzrayim. So what's unique, what characteristics are unique about the mitzvah that we're going to engage in at the Sedarim, namely the mitzvah of Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim? How is this different than the daily mitzvah? So Rav Chaim gives three answers. One answer is that unlike the daily obligation of Zechira, where it's just mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, Tzipor has the added element of telling an entire narrative from beginning to end. Matzil b'ganus u'mesayim b'shevach, we begin with the low points, with the slavery, and we go on to discuss in great detail, with great pomp and circumstance, the shevach, the exodus, the chayrus, and the entire sense of us coming out of Mitzrayim. So that's one answer. The second answer is that while normally Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim, the daily commemoration, is something that we just say, Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim, we use these simanim to tell that story. Pesach, Matzah, Maror, we explicate, we expand based on the objects at the Seder itself. We actually give some type of physical manifestation of that experience, and that, of course, is different than the daily Zechira. The third answer that Rav Chaim gives is that part and parcel of this mitzvah of Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim is the necessity of Higazel L'Bincha, of bringing your children, telling your children. So Rav Chaim says, V'hayomer shehachilut ben Zechira l'Tzipor is that by Tzipor, it has to be derech she'ela u'shuva, it has to be through question and answer. Kedichtiv hayaki yish'alcha bincha, v'gato l'vincha, ha'ben shoah ma'nishtana, the son asks the questions, v'ahav meshiv avadim hayinu, the father responds. And that's obviously a key ingredient. And a person is not mekayim the mitzvah of Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim unless they have this educational, conversational piece to it. That idea that Rav Chaim mentions, of course, from the Torah, quoting in Pesukim from Parshas Bo, and it's codified in the Mishnah towards the end of Masechta Pesachim, Pesachim Daf Kuftes Zayin Amud Aleph. And there it says that here, after pouring the second cup, the Tan HaBen Shoel, the son asks the question, and the Mishnah continues, Ufidai Soshel Ben Ovid Melamdo, based on the ability, based on the intellectual capacity of the son, the father teaches him, Maskel B'Gnuz, Messiah B'Sheva, and the father teaches him through, obviously beginning with the Gnuz and going on to the Sheva, but already that's brought down this necessity of the Chinuch, and the father teaching the son, that's brought down already by the Mishnah, and discussed in the Gemara. The Gemara says, just the same Gemara M'sachim, Tochacham B'no Sho'alo, the Chacham, the son asks, if you don't have a son who's a chacham, if you don't really have children at all, then your wife asks the questions. The Imlav, let's say you don't have a children or a wife, who shall the Atmo, then he asks himself the questions. Two people that already can recite the Pesach Haggadah in their sleep, and they know every nuance, and they know every halacha and every din, still, two Tamei Chachamim, still we say Sholin Zelazeh. The Gemara concludes, they still ask themselves the question. This is codified in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Zayin, Halacha, Aleph, and Beis, this idea that the children ask the questions to the father, and then the Rambam says, the Apati She'en Lo Ben, he may not have a son, Adil Chachamim Gedolun Chayavim L'Sater B'Tiz Yisrayim B'Chol Hamarech B'Dvarim She'iru B'Shehayu Harizem Meshubach. And even the greatest of the Chachamim who don't have children, they still have to ask and answer and be marich and expand on this story. The Rambam continues, Halacha Beis, Mitzvah Lahudia. This is a very unique language in the Rambam, that you have to inform or educate Levanin, even they didn't have to ask the question. They didn't ask the question, but still, he got it to Levincha. The Rambam continues, based on the child's acumen, the father teaches him. How is that? If the child was either a child or he's an adult, but he's a little bit of a tipesh, Omer lo b'ni kulano hayanu hayinu avadim. Explained him in a very simple way. We were slaves, etc. V'mahaya ha-ben gadol v'chacham modio mashi'ir lanu b'mitrayim. Then you go through the details of the story much more in depth, and that's the way you educate the children. I should point out that I saw a question by Rav Soloveitchik, a question that I did not find so compelling, no offense to the Rav and others who asked the question, but how come the Rambam only brings down a katan or a tipesh, which would seem to be the category of either a tam or a enyo de lishol, and he brings down the category of chacham? How come the Rambam does not record the necessity of teaching the ben harasha in these halachos? I should point out, I don't think it's a great question, only in the sense that the Rambam himself does do that in his Hesavada, and the Rambam just seems to be echoing the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah and the Gemara and the Bavli do not go through those details, do not list all four sons, but just state that we teach a child based on that level. So the Rambam is just codifying that halacha, but again, just keep in your mind that the Rav does ask the question, why does the Rambam not bring down in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis the necessity of teaching the Ben Harasha? I want to ask the question, and that's the following. Why is it that this mitzvah of Sipur Yitziyat Yisrayim has attached to it this necessity, so much so to Rav Chaim, that one is not Mekayim, the mitzvah d'oraisa, of the Higadot Levincha? We have many important mitzvos. Of course, Yitzias Mitzrayim is certainly chief of them. But we have many important mitzvos. The mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Munah, the mitzvah of all sorts of things that one could argue are equally important, perhaps even more so. But we don't attach to that the component that if you're not Pigata Levincha, you don't teach your children, you're not Yotze the mitzvah. So what is it about this story, this narrative, this obligation that carries along with it the necessity of the Gadat Tel Levincha? And perhaps a person could aver that the entire root of Emunah, the basis of Emunah, comes from Yitzias Mitzrayim, and therefore it makes sense that it's part of the necessity of Mesorah, so we do just that, we teach our children. But again, the question could be asked, why this mitzvah more than other mitzvot? So I want to get into the issue and the source and the history of the four sons, because as we mentioned, it's not mentioned in the Mishnah or the Gemara. So where do we have this idea from that the Bali Haggadah, the Bali Mesorah, that they all of a sudden took what we saw, the Psukim that we have, and they expanded that to these four different types of sons? So in order to do that, very briefly, want to go through the psukim that are familiar to all of us. The first segment of psukim, we sort of go through in order, the question and the discussion of the ben hacham does not appear in Parshas Bo. It appears in Parshas Vaschanan, so we'll leave that aside. In the Sukkim in Parshas Bo, Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Chafav, Vayok Yomru Aleichem Beneichem, when your children will say to you, Ma'a Avodah Hazos Lochem, what is this work, what is this Avodah that you're doing? Vamartem, and you'll respond back, Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem, this is the Karban Pesach for God, and this whole Parsha in Shmos is dealing with Karban Pesach. Asher Pasach Abate B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, God, everyone assigned the word Pasach. He skipped over B'Nagvot Mitzrayim Esbateinu Hitzil, when he established a plague, when he struck Mitzrayim and our homes, he saved. V'yikot Ha'am Yishachavu, and B'nei Yisrael had bowed down, they acquiesced to this idea. That's Pasuk number one, when your children say to you, Ma'avodah Zot Lachem, and we respond back, Zevach Pesach. Okay? Second segment of Sukkim, Shmos Yud Gimel Pasuches, V'gata Levincha B'yom Avulemor, Zabavur Zeh Osa Hashem Li B'Seisim Yisrayim, you will tell your son on that day, Zabavur Zeh Osa Hashem Li B'Seisim Yisrayim, it's because of this, Bavur Zeh. What this Zeh is not totally clear, it's discussed by Mefarshim, but because of this, we were taken out of Mitzrayim. That's the second segment of Sukkim. And lastly, the last segment, the third segment, is in Shmos Perek Yugimol, Pasuk Yudalid, V'hayok Yish'alcha Vincha Machar Lemor Mazot. Your son will ask you, Machar, tomorrow. What Machar means is an open question. What does tomorrow mean? Does tomorrow mean the next day? Does it mean 1,000 years later? And your son will say, Mazot, what is this? God took us out with a strong hand. So based on these three segments of Sukkim, again, that's number one. And lastly, so based on those sukkim, the Mechilta tells us that these are really four different types of sons who are asking the question. The Mechilta says, let's read a few lines of the Mechilta. So it says, "My dut hakukiv amishpatim nimseis omer arba banim heim echad chacham b'echad rashi b'echatam b'echad shenazei l'shol." That the four different sons. So chacham ahu omer. This is familiar to us from the Seder. Maha edut hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu otanu. So afatav v'sachlo v'hilchos ha-pesach emaftir nachar ha-pesach ha-pikomin. The question of the ben hachacham found in Vayetz Chanan. And then the Mechilta continues, Rasha mahu omer, maha avodah hazos lochem, lochem v'lolo. The Rasha said, what's this avodah for you? And the Mechilta makes a diuk. A diuk we know, of course, says lochem for you, but lo lo, when it's not about him. Well, if Yishahosi has atzo min haklal, the kafir b'ikar, afata hake shina, he sort of knocked his teeth because he took himself out from the klal. V'amar lo ba'afur zeh asa Hashem li b'seisim Yisrayim, that God did this for me, li v'lo l'cha, se'ilu ha'yisa sham lo ha'yisa nigal. If you had been there, you would not have been redeemed. And then the Mechilta continues by the Tom and by the She'eno Yodei Lishol. Now there is a distinction that's made between the Mechilta and when the Baalei Haggadah codified the Haggadah, and that distinction can be found in the question asked by the Rasha. I'm going to read the Haggadah inside. I'm sure everyone's familiar with it, but just as a review. So Rasha Mahu Omer, Maha Vodah Hazos Lochem, Lochem Velolo. Again, what's this avoda for you, right? Lochem v'lolo, meaning that he's distancing himself from the history. Because he took himself out from the communal experience, he is kofer b'ikar. The afata hakeh shinav, you give him a little bit of a knock. Ve'emor lo, you tell him, ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'seitzim imtrayim. God did this for me because of the Karban Pesach. Leave a low, low, me, but not for him. Ilu haya sham lo haya nigal. If he had been there, lo haya nigal. I want to ask a few questions about this response, this entire segment of the Ben Harasham. something that is certainly discussed in the Mechilta, but even more so in the Haggadah itself. Question number one is that how do we know, just based on the question, that this person is a Rasha? If you didn't have the Mechilta, you didn't have the Haggadah, you'd read through the Pesukim, you would assume that it's all one father and one child, or one symbolic father and one symbolic child. You wouldn't really make much of the questions. You wouldn't assume that one person was a Rasha, one person was a Chacham, one person was a Tam, one person was a She'enu Yodeh L'shol. It would just be a narrative that is read, and we wouldn't necessarily make much of it. So how did the Mechilta, how did the Baalei Haggadah look at these Pesukim and say, oh, this must be a child of a distinct, or the question of a distinct child? Where do we get that from? Where do we see that from? That's question number one. Question number two, assuming that this is the question of a Rasha, ma ha'avodah hazos lachem, the Torah gives the answer. The Torah gives the answer, b'amartem zerach pesachu, this is the Karban Pesach. But in the Mechilta and in the Haggadah, that's not the answer that's given. The answer that's given is, very simply, Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tesim Mitzrayim, the same answer that we attribute to the question of the She'enu Yodeh L'Shol, or really the non-question of the She'enu Yodeh L'Shol. So why is it that the Torah offers one response, but the Mechilta and the Baalei Haggadah, they give a different response? And a third question, why is it all of a sudden that we're not speaking directly to the Ben HaChacham? What do we tell him? I said, Li below low, right? So also Hashem Li B'Tzeis Mitzrayim, he did it for me, Li, for me, below low, and not for him. But in fact, if we're responding to the question of the Ben Harasha, it should be Li below Lecha, for me but not for you. And then it should say, Ilu Haya or Hayisa Sham, if you had been there, Lo Hayisa Nigol. Not that if he had been there, he would not be redeemed. It should be, if you were there, you would not be redeemed. So how do we make sense of these three questions on the narrative of the Ben HaRasha? Number one, how do we know he's a Ben HaRasha in the first place? Number two, why is it that the Haggadah replaces the answer of the Torah that in theory should be good enough and replaces it with the answer, Bavur Zeh, the answer given to the She'enu Yodeh L'Shol? And lastly, why don't we address the Ben HaRasha directly? So I want to try to, over the course of the next few minutes, deal with all of those questions. Question number one is, again, why do we need to have this element of chinuch? Why don't we give the answer of the Torah to the Rasha? Why do we not address them directly? And how do we know that this person is a Rasha altogether? So I want to provide four different approaches brought down by the Meforshim to try to answer some of these questions. The first approach is suggested by many people, including the Malbim, including the Meshech Chachma, including the Vilna Gaon, and they all hint, or they all pick up on a word that's mentioned in that first segment of Sukkim that we discussed. It's not brought down in Haggadah, but when this child asks a question to the father, he does so by saying, V'amartem. Your child will come to you, and he'll say, Yomru Aleichem B'neichem. Your child will say to you. Unlike other times in these passages where it says, Yish'alcha, your son will ask you, your son wants to learn, this child does not come asking questions. This child comes just making definitive statements, Yomru Amartem, he'll say to you. So Meshech Chachma picks up on that language. Meshech Chachma says this at the end of Parashas Bo. Says, "Hu rak loeg al havoda." He's just diminishing. He's just really almost making fun of the avoda. Shel daiso hu davar batel. It really is nothing. It's meaningless. V'ein ritzono b'tshuva lahosid deya. He's not looking for an answer to increase his knowledge. Kilo yachpos kitzil b'tvuna. A fool never really looks for knowledge. Ritzono hu sheyia hakushya aluma v'sheyia halag chazak. All he wants is that the question be a strong question so that he can go ahead and he can disparage the avoda that's happening. That is the language of v'amartem, not bikashtem, not sha'altem, but v'amartem. He's making a statement. So from that diuk in the psukim, we know that this is not a child who we would call tzaddik or chacham, but that this child is demonstrating some level of rishus. Again, that's the language, and that's the diuk made by the Malbim. The Vilna Gaon said that based on the same idea, so we understand why we don't respond back to the ben directly. Based on the Rambam, based on other ideas, when somebody comes who's an apikorsis and he's just trying to come to challenge, he doesn't really want to know. So we don't engage in conversation. We don't engage in banter. We don't try to give a real response because he's not looking for a real response. And probably for many of us, we have found that when someone is coming just to challenge, almost trying to give a response is almost worse. A, you are acknowledging the strength of his challenge, even though it's not being asked in a sincere way. Usually the person will take the response that you give him and just either diminish that or twist it or find some way of negating it. And sometimes it's better if a person is not a mevakesh, but he's just somebody who's saying something strongly, often not engaging with that person is even better. So the Vilna Gaon said, you can find this in the Haggadah, the Vilna Gaon, you can find this in the Haggadah of Rionis on Facts, this excellent Haggadah. V'haynu she'en ha-Torah chetza she'yashivu l'Rasha, v'she'yidabro imilklal, we don't even want to respond to him. Rath omer Torah, she'tomru b'derech klal, v'martum zerach Pesach, that the Torah itself just says, this is Pesach, klomar she'mitzvah lomar zerach Pesach hu l'Hashem, and that's why in the Haggadah, we don't give him a specific response. We give him the response that might have been for a question that might have been posed by somebody else or somebody else at the Seder. For instance, the Yode'enu Yode'el Lishol. And we say, Ba'vur Zeh. Namely, we're not responding back to the Rasha. We're really responding to other people who are at the Seder. So this statement of Ba'vur Zeh, also Hashem Li, but Seder Mitzrayim, is again saying that we're not talking to you, but there are other people here, and for those people, this response of Ba'avur Zeh is appropriate. And that would really answer why the Haggadah changed the pasuk. This also, this is pointed out by Rav Soloveitchik and others, might be the answer, if you assume that it's a strong question, why the Rambam never includes the Ben HaRasha in the Mishneh Torah. Because we're not even machshiv, we're not even goreis, don't even acknowledge the Ben HaRasha, he's not really a part of the halachic mandate of the father to respond back to a son who is not questioning, who's just challenging, and that perhaps is why the Rambam leaves it out of his halachos. I would also explain, I forget if the Vilna Gaon made this comment or not, but when we speak to him, we say, so also Hashem leave the Seif Mitzrayim, leave a lolo, me but not him. Ilo hayasham lohaya nigal. If he had been there, he would not have been redeemed. Because again, it's almost a way of discounting the Ben HaRasha. We're not speaking to him. We're sort of saying if he had been there. But you, the Ben HaRasha, the child who is rebelling, you are not even going to give credence to. And that is the first approach, the approach of the Vilna Gaon, of the Malbim, of the Meshech Chochma, and of others. One. Okay, number two is based on a line found in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, unlike the Bavli, goes through each one of these four sons. The Bavli does not mention anything but the Alevanim. And the Yerushalmi, in discussing the question of the Ben HaRasha, I'll read you the line of the Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi, Psachim Perik Yud, Halacha Dalid. So Ben HaRasha, to Mahu Omer, what is the rebellious, what is the quote-unquote evil son, what does he say? He says, Ma havodah hazos lochem. That's what the pasuk says. What is this work to you? And the Yerushalmi is picking up, of course, on the word avoda, that it's a work, it's a toil, it's a labor, it's an ol, it's a yoke around the neck of the Jewish people. And the Yerushalmi explicates, Ma hatoreyach hazeh, what is this tircha? Sha'atem matrichin aleinu, that you, the chachamim, our parents, chazal, that you're being matriachas, you are really making our lives so difficult, b'chol shana b'shana. Each year, again, schlepping boxes and killing the carbon Pesach and going through all of the toil, all of the tircha of the Korban Pesach and the Pesach in general, and that's really what the Ben Harasha is challenging. This idea is mentioned in a number of other sources as well. It's mentioned in the Haggadah, the Shibboleth Halakhah. Shibboleth Halakhah was one of the late German Rishonim. Shibboleth Halakhah points out that the word Avodah can be understood really in one of two different ways. We know, of course, Avodah often is very positive. The Avodah in Beis HaMikdash, that you should work with all of your heart, Avodah Shibboleth, all those things imply that Avodah is good. So how do we know in this case that Avodah is not meant in a positive way? Maybe the child is asking the question, Avodah, in a positive way. So the Shibboleth Halakhah said that based on everything else he's saying, he uses the word lachem, and look what we pointed out before, the word ba'amartem. All those things create a context to understanding the word Avodah in the way that the Yerushalmi did. It's an Avodah, it's a Tircha. So even though the word Avodah in and of itself is a somewhat benign word, based on the tone of how somebody says a word like that, we can understand a lot about him. And that's how the Mechilta, the Baalei Haggadah, knew this was the Ben Harasha. He used the word Avodah, and he used it with a certain tone and a certain context that we knew exactly what he meant and what he means when he said the word Avodah. That's what the Malbim says. I'll read the line again. The Malbim says that the word Amartem, right, really tells us that Kevan Shekvar Hichlit Ki Avodah Yisrei. The word Amartem tells us that the word Avodah, that the sentiment behind Avodah, is that this is Avodah Yisrei. It's completely unnecessary. It's a comment which is made by the Sforno. The Sforno asks the question when he says Avodah, or the Sforno made a comment. What he's really saying is, Ma Avodah Zos Lochem, is why is it necessary, again, the context of the Psukim being Karban Pesach, why is it necessary that every family, every Chabura, has to offer Karban Pesach? Let one person offer Karban Pesach, bring it to the Kohen Gadol. What's the necessity of the entire family being involved in this Avodah? So Sforno said, that's pshat. Ma'avodah zos b'chem. Why does every family have to bring Karban Pesach? What a pain, what a tircha. Same idea of the Yerushalmi. A much, much later source than the Yerushalmi or the Shibboleth Halakhah is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, of course, was the Alter Rebbe, or Shneur Zalman. And he brings down the halacha in his Shulchan Aruch HaRav. When we think of the Alter Rebbe, we think of the Tanya. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, or Shneur Zalman, was also a tremendous, tremendous tamachacham, tremendous bal halacha, baki in halacha. And he wrote his own Shulchan Aruch as though to say that even the early Hasidim had a real interest in halacha. It wasn't just about spirituality and simcha. So the Baal Tanya wrote this Shulchan Aruch as a way of saying that there's a seriousness about halacha even among the early Hasidim, because that had been the criticism against them, because they're not interested so much in some of the normative aspects of Yahadut. So in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Simin Tav Samech Tet, 469, Sif Hei, the Shneur Zalman said the following language, Lo Yomar Adam, a person should not say, Kama Tareach Pesach Zeh, oh, this Pesach, it's such a tircha, ki Rasha, the Rasha, what did he say? Mahu Omer, ma avodah hazot lochem, ma tereach ze lochem. Again, according to Yerushalmi. Bi'achshav, says the Shneur Zalman, ein ha'olam nizharin bazeh. People are not so careful nowadays to not disparage or to be positive about the Pesach process. And the Shneur Zalman said, maybe we can find a limud zchus in the sense that the Ben HaRasha was disparaging the avodah of the Karban Pesach, where we might just, I won't say disparage, but complain about some of the preparations going into Pesach. Maybe it's not as bad, but either way, the point is that even Bizmaneinu, we should be careful to not relive or to restate the feeling of the Ben HaRasha, and we should have a certain enthusiasm when it comes to the performance of the Pesach obligation. That's answer number two. Number one is the Amartem that he says, he didn't ask. And number two is that he says Avodah. This is the Tircha. Number three. Number three is mentioned by many people. It's a beautiful idea by Rav Soloveitchik, but many say this. In the comment of that Hotzi Atzo min haklal, he takes himself away from the klal. Now, I want to go back and read a line in the Mechilta, because when you see the Mechilta and then you see the language that we have, which is brought down by the Rambam and codified in the Haggadah, the Mechilta's language is somewhat different, and it's very minor, but it is significant. The Mechilta says, and listen to the nuance, Ulufisha Hotzi es Atzo min haklal, because he took himself out of the klal, comma, the kafir be'ikar, and because he also rejected a principle of faith, afata hakeh shinav, you should sort of give it to him. You should be makeh shinav. Now, in the Mechilta, he's making essentially a list of two different offenses of the Ben Harasha. He says, A, Hotzi es atzo min haklal, he's taken himself out of the sort of the circle of the community, and B, the kofar b'ikar. On top of that, he also was kofar b'ikar. So if you look at the language of the Rambam, and the language we have in the Haggadah, I'll read you the line of Haggadah. Ulfi shehotzi es atzo min haklal, kofar b'ikar. Because he took himself out of the communal circle, the communal sensitivities, that by definition was kafar b'ikar. That itself is an act of kfira. That's an act of overturning all of yahdus. And this idea of being a person who's poresh midarchei tzibur, or removing himself from the tzibur, is something that is discussed at length by many of the Baalei Machshava and some of the Rishonim as well. And there seems to be two different approaches in the Rishonim as to what exactly is wrong with being Toresh Midarchei Tzibur, of removing oneself from the klal. One idea is brought down by Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva. This is in Chelek Gimel, Sif, Kuf, Samech, Chet. And Rabbeinu Yonah said that when the nation joins together, when a group joins together, there's the opportunity of being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and to elevate, to sanctify the name of God. And when this person comes in and says, I'm not going to be a part of it, I'm going to daven in my own place, I'm going to separate myself, I'm not going to come to public tefillos, I'm not going to come when there's something significant going on. Okay? So then the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Hinehu kimekatreg al haskamas avodas Hashem, ukiyotze michlal hamekachim et Hashem, Umar atmo kilo yachpot liyot, liyot, the sodom, muhigatei, the ksavam, kinehu mechalo tavodav. It's as though he's arguing on the results or on the conclusion of those people who are being obeyed at Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ukiyotze mechalal hamikachim et Hashem, he's taking himself out, removing himself from those people who are sanctifying the name of God, and as though that he has nothing to do with that process of being sanctified, of sanctifying the Shem Hashem. The Rambam says something perhaps even more profound. The Rambam says, HaPorish Midarchei Tzibur, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, a person who removes himself from the Tzibur, Afal Pi Shelo Avar Averos. It doesn't mean that he's an Avarion. He still davens, he still does this, he still does the mitzvot. But Elam Nibzal Me'adas Yisrael, he simply removes himself from the nation of Israel. V'eino Osa Mitzvot B'chlolon, he doesn't do mitzvot with them. V'lo Nichnas B'tzorason, he doesn't feel the pain, he does not feel the anguish, he doesn't feel the trials and tribulations of the nation. V'lo Nis'ana B'tanisan, he doesn't join together when there's a public fast day. Elaholech B'darcho Ki'echa Me'goy Ha'aretz, he conducts himself as though he's from one of the other nations and sort of removed from the heartbeat of the nation of Israel. The Rambam says, and ready for this, that person has no Olam Haba. What did he do exactly? So the answer is, he didn't feel the tzara of the nation. He didn't daven with them. He didn't fast with them. And that in and of itself is a justification, says the Rambam, for declaring that he has no Olam Haba, he has no place in the world to come. The world to come is a place of people that are sitting, as the Rambam records, discussed in the Gemara, people that are sitting in a circle surrounding sort of a common idea, a common desire to just know God and connect to God. And a person who says, I'm removed from that, that person has no chelek in the world to come. So this is the third answer. What did the Ben HaRasha do? He said, Lachem. He's removed himself. He's placed himself outside of the ma'agal, outside of that circle. And as a result, so he's called a Ben HaRasha. And based on the Rambam, that's somebody who does not have a chelek in the world to come. It's the third answer. The fourth answer is provided by the Brisker Rav and by Rav Chaim. He mentions, and this is found in the Brisker Haggadah by the section of the Ben HaRasha, that essentially the issue of the Ben HaRasha, I'm not going to read inside, is that he's somebody that's always looking for a reason. He's always looking for Tamei HaMitzvos. Now we know, of course, that Tamei HaMitzvos is something that we should be desirous of. Most famously, the Rambam discusses this at length in the third section of the Mor Nevuchim, from Perek Chafei, from many prophets afterwards. And we know, of course, it's not necessity, the value of Tamei HaMitzvos. But there's a difference between somebody who comes, and in this case, it's the Ben Chacham, that asks questions and he wants to know, but his performance is not based on getting the right answers, but it's based on Torah. It's based on the fact that his father, his Rebbeim, the Torah tells him to do something. Okay, would you like to know the deeper answer? Absolutely. And that's something that should be encouraged, and something we should encourage in our children and in ourselves. But he doesn't sit there and say, either it could be the right answer, or I'm out of here. He doesn't disregard, he doesn't negate the entire Torah. And that is what, again, the Brisker Rav and the base Brisk, that's what they saw was a problem in this Ben HaRasha. And in fact, just to read a few lines inside, in the Brisker, they say the following, Omnam yodiyoser nira haparsha airi ben gadol umaluma. This song about a son, he's older, maybe he's in his 20s or late teens, umalumad, he is knowledgeable, hayodea inyan, he's a tsrayim, he knows exactly what's going on. So raklibo nata litzad haminim, his heart is sort of leaning towards the minim, those people that are disbelievers, v'abikorsim, hamischaknim v'omrim tamim l'mitzvos, who always want to give a reason for a mitzvah, v'acharei she'imtzu eizetam she'eino shayach bizmanim elu. And when they say, you know what, we see that this does not apply nowadays, yomru she'kvar nisbatla hamitzvah v'chiyuva chalila. They'll say, you know what, it doesn't apply, so therefore we are off the hook. It doesn't apply to us. Tukmokein ha-reformim ha-mishubashim b'daitam ha-nosnes ma'al-mitzvah. The people, obviously, from the reform movement, and Rav Chaim is addressing the maskilim of his day. They say, you know what? The time is gone. Therefore, we are finished. Not to say anything that would be critical, but I just saw recently a story in the foreword that the conservative movement has come out. And they said, you know what? Kitnios no longer applies. And there, even in Ashkenazi countries, and therefore we are now exempt from worrying about kitnios. Again, that's again an indication of the same mentality. Give me a reason that I can believe in. If I question, if I don't believe, the reason doesn't apply, that I no longer have interest. Now, again, these four reasons, either A, because the child says v'amartem, or he says avota, or he says lachem, or in general, he's dependent on Tamei HaMitzvos, it's really not an issue, it's not really a question, that there is only one son, and that each son are four distinct entities, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, Yudei, and the Lishol. But the Sfat Emet says beautifully that we all have qualities of these four sons inside of us. We all have the quality of the Chacham, we all have the quality of the Rasha, with all the quality of the simple son, of the child who has no idea what's going on, all of those are within us. And so even if we, and for good reason, we don't view ourselves as a Rasha, and hopefully no one who's listening to this shiur will be characterized as a Rasha, probably it's fair to say that each one of us has qualities within us that is described by the Ben HaRasha. Probably all of us have qualities of sometimes just via Marta. We just make a statement. We don't really want to ask. We're not Bali She'ifa. We're not Mavakshim. We just want to make a statement. We just want to challenge. Probably all of us have an element of that arrogance within us. Probably many of us have find ourselves violating the words of the Yerushalmi, of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, of saying even Bizmanenu, what's this tircha, what's this avoda, schlepping of the boxes, kashering the kitchen, kashering of all the kalim, do we have to do it whole shana b'shana every single year? I wish I could just go away to a hotel, I wish I could go somewhere else. And somehow we manage to convey a lot of those sentiments, a lot of those feelings to our children through a certain amount of complaining. Again, a normal amount of complaining, a minimal amount of complaining, certainly would seem to be normal, but that has to come in the context where overall we're feeling very positive and we are expressing that positivity, we're expressing the feeling of Ashreichem Yisrael, how lucky we are for these mitzvot. So probably all of us in our own way at different times convey or express this piece of the Ben HaRasha who says, Maha Avodah HaZos Lachem. Probably many of us at different times fall into the category of the Ben HaRasha in the sense that he separates himself from the rest of the tzibur. Sometimes it's a point of frustration working in a community, although Baruch Hashem have a beautiful community, where there's something really significant going on, a rally for Israel, something in the shul to raise money for tzedakah, somebody is sitting shiva, and on, where Baruch Hashem, a good part of the shul participates, but a good part of the shul does not. They say, I don't know this person, I'm not passionate about this cause, I don't feel like going to a rally, I don't feel like being a part of it. Or people who are part of a shul for many years, and when they see somebody walking into shul, they don't go over and say, welcome, be a part of us, be part of our tzibur, but they're very much have an element of being removed from the tzibur. All of those things, while perhaps understandable, perhaps justifiable, we're all comfortable in the zones that we live in, that we inhabit. But all of us, perhaps in our own way, express or reflect this mid of the Ben HaRasha of being a poresh midarchi tzibur, removing himself from the community. And lastly, many people also find themselves attached to the necessity of understanding something completely. I want to understand whatever it has to do, I have to understand it completely. It's not good enough that it was done by my father, by my grandfather, for hundreds of thousands of years, but if I don't feel justified, if I don't feel that I have the explanation that I need, I am going to remove myself from that. And then perhaps many of us have the same quality discussed by Reb Chaim as far as being someone who revolves and who constructs their Avodas Hashem around needing to know all of the answers. What do we do with this kid? Hake es shinav. We knock in his teeth. Now I have a question that I want to pose to all of you. Why is that the right response to the Ben HaRasha? This child who's clearly struggling, this child who clearly is missing something, this child or this person who perhaps is unhappy, and his unhappiness is being expressed through this question and through this challenge. Many of us probably either have kids or we've seen kids, we're around kids who are struggling, who are rebelling. And wouldn't we think that the way of addressing a child would be in a more gentle way, in a more chinuchi type of way? And in fact, I want to mention a few sources that are brought down by the Mefarshim that tell us that in theory, that should be the case. This is a very famous question posed by the Maharal. The Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Lom in Prague, he asks in his Haggadah, of what's this idea, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenatan Torah Liyama Yisrael, blessed is the Makom, blessed is he that gave the Torah Liyama Yisrael, Baruch Hu. And then, of course, the Haggadah says, that's Kineged Arba Badim. This statement, where we are praising God and praising the Torah and extolling the beauty of the Torah, that is Kineged Dalid Banim. So Chaim answers, and this is a question that we found in the Sefer by Rav Schwab as well and by others, is that the greatness of the Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Le'am Yisrael, is that the same Torah has a message, can inspire, can uplift, can elevate every child, no matter who that child, no matter who that person is. the person studies biology and a child is in ninth grade biology, so that child has to have one textbook which is appropriate for a 14-year-old child. Somebody who's completing his PhD in biology needs a completely different source, completely different set of resources, a different book. And of course, different levels, different personalities are not going to connect to the same book. But the greatness of the Torah is that it speaks to every person and every child, and that there's something there for everyone, the thing that can inspire everyone. And again, we see the same idea that the Haggadah, the Torah, should inspire, should speak to every child. But yet, what do? We ignore him. Or we hakeshina, we sort of knock his teeth in a little bit. Why is that the appropriate response? I'll tell you another Marimakum. A Marimakum brought down by Rabbi Yaakov Emdin in his Haggadah. It says, Baruch Hu, that God is blessed, Mister. Right? It's sort of like a mysterious, like a hidden idea, a blessed is he. We don't say who or what. We're sort of reflecting the fact that God is there, but in somewhat hidden form. Okay? And we say the Klafei HaRasha, Ki Ein Elokim L'Neged Einav, because he's not really, the Rasha is not seeing God. So all we say is Baruch Hu. We don't say Baruch HaMakom. We don't say Baruch. We say Baruch Hu to reflect the fact that God is somewhat hidden from the eyes of the Rasha. Because it's Baruch Hu Chas Alav, that God is still there. God is still present in the statement. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu is the second of the statements. And that second statement is Keneged the Rasha. So this God who is somewhat hidden is still there speaking to the Ben HaRasha. Because Baruch Hu Chas Alav L'Lamdo U'L'Karv L'Torah. God is still there. God is still present to Mekari of the Son to the Torah. That's a beautiful, beautiful idea, which is mentioned as well by Rav Soloveitchik, brought down in the Haggadah by Rav Shurkin, the Hari Kedem. And in the Haggadah, he says, what's Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu? What's the word Makom? So Makom is usually a statement of God's presence, specifically in a place where we feel that maybe God would be absent. For instance, in the Shiva home, where the person is feeling bereft of the Yad Hashem, person is feeling the unbelievable weight of loss, what do we say? Hamakom, you know, famous Hem. God perhaps feels hidden at this moment. God, who one might have thought, is hidden at this very moment. So God is there, Fimenachem Yu the Avel. And so too at the Seder, you have the Rasha, you have the Tam, you have the Sheinu Yudei Lishol. You would think, what's the Seder, what's the Haggadah, what's the Torah going to say to these people? But we still say Hamakom, God is still there, present in the lives and in the responses and the chinuch of these three children. So we see from all of these sources, from the Haggadah of Yaakov Emdin, from the question and the answer of Reb Chaim of Brisk, from Reb Chaim's grandson, Reb Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, that God is there, God is present, God is speaking to the Ben HaRasha, but yet we still say, Hakei Eshinov. So perhaps on one level we can say that Chinuch sometimes manifests itself in different types of ways. Sometimes God is there in our life, and God is present, and God is speaking to us, but it doesn't come with an embrace, it doesn't come with a kiss. Sometimes it comes a little bit with a harshness. Sometimes the way that God speaks to us, or that we as parents speak to our children, as much as we love them and as present as we are, sometimes needs to be with a little bit of harshness. And that seems to be, the pashup shot seems to be reflected as well in the way that we respond to the Ben HaRasha. I want to give a different response. And this one that I saw in the Kisvei Abba Mari, which is written by Rav Aaron Walkin, the Mishnah of Aaron. And Rav Aaron Walkin says, that there is a fundamental flaw in sometimes the chinuch that we give to children that we perceive to be off the derech. People get up and they're all a sense of righteous indignation. Look at this kid walking to shul and he's not dressed so chopstick, or look at this kid that is doing X, Y, and Z. He says it is absolutely wrong. He said God is living in the soul of every single person, every single human being. And he says the following. The inner life of a person is tova v'yafa, is beautiful, is good. Any child, any person who has a machshava ra'a, has an evil thought, that's not really bekirbo, it's not part of his essence, it's not part of his soul. V'zesha amar hakeh shinav, when we say that you knock his teeth, it doesn't really mean you knock his teeth. What it means is, ki kol divrei ta'anato, eino noza'at mekirbo, it doesn't come. It's not noveya from his kirbo, from his inner essence. Like Yirso ben Shinov, it's like poison between his teeth. Omeg mibachutz. But it's all external. It's all mibachutz. It is all external to who he is. The ha'etza, what is the etza? Hakei. We knock out his teeth. What does that mean? Kika lo nemar. It doesn't mean we hit him. El hakei. Klomar. Tol hashninios shebahem. Take away his teeth. Ignore what he's saying. Ignore the harshness that he's saying, because it's really not him. He's naheg ba'ahava, treat him with love. V'oz lo yeh lahem pitzvam peh. And therefore, if you treat him with love, he will not have a pitzvam peh. We ignore the harshness of the child, the rebelliousness, the anger. We see that just as being a manifestation of his outer shell, the klipa of the child, just his teeth. So hakei. We make his teeth weak. We don't really listen to the sharpness of his teeth, and rather we look at the soul of man. I tend to be somebody that never, ever quotes gematrias, but I saw a gematria that discusses exactly this issue. The gematria of Russia is 570. The gematria of Shinov is 366. If you subtract 366, from 570, you end up with 204. 204, of course, is the numerical value, the gematria of the word tzaddik. What a beautiful statement being made by Rav Walkin. We just don't listen sometimes to the outer expression of our child, of our children, of our congregants, of our students, but we really probe to the inner layer. That's a totally, totally different experience. We respond to him differently or her differently. In turn, they'll respond to us differently. It's focusing on the essence of a child. So that's the case, and we look back on the questions that we had about the Ben HaRasha, is that we don't really respond to him directly. We don't really respond to his vitriol, his anger, and give an answer in Haggadah of just the Martin Zevach Pesach, and that's it. Or we give a different answer. Bav or Zeh. Asa Shemli B'Seitz Mitzrayim. We don't respond directly to him, to his anger, because it's almost pointless. When we talk about the Ben HaRasha, we don't say that you would not have been redeemed, right? Leave lo l'cha. Me, I would be redeemed, but you would not have been redeemed. Why don't we do that? Because we don't want to attack his outer rishus, his outer anger directly. We say, if such a person had been in Mitzrayim, that truly said that I have no peace in this avodah, if that person had been there, then if and I, perhaps he would not have been redeemed. But we don't tell our children that. We don't tell our kid, ah, you're the kofar, and you're the apikorsis. We say, if a child or a person had truly believed of ma'avodah dos lachem, this person would not be redeemed. But you, my child, you would have been someone completely different. And on, kahena the kahena, and understanding these psukim, and the question of, and the response of the Ben HaRasha. If that's the case, perhaps, we circle full back to what we began with. Why is it that there is such an emphasis in the Haggadah of the Gadol HaDevar? It's not just because how critical the Seder is, but in the same way that the Sfas Emes tells us that really each one of these four children is all a piece of us. It's a piece of every child. It's a piece of every adult. That we tell ourselves on the evening of the Seder, the Leil Amunim, the evening of Emuna, the evening where our Emuna is concretized, in the same way that we are trained through the questions of our four sons, is to look beyond sometimes the outer layer of our child, the outer rebelliousness, the outer anger, and to look at the soul of that child, so too for ourselves. On this night, we clear away cynicism, we clear away our own anger, we clear away sometimes the wreckage of our own past, we clear away the outer layers of perhaps something that is not our best selves, and Hakeshina, we weaken our own teeth to touch into our own tamimius, our own inner life, our own soul. And we experience the Seder evening as a katan, as a child. As a child perhaps would have experienced in that evening, on those periods of time, genuine, simple, unchallenged faith. So give all of us a bracha that we struggle, and we should struggle, and we should contend with. We should counteract some of the elements of rishos that we've been discussing, the quote-unquote rishos of just the amartem, saying something and not asking, the rishos of just viewing everything as a tirchas, as a vodam, the element of rishos of separating ourselves from the tzibor, the element of rishos of always looking for tamim. But even more than that, training ourselves within our own selves and our children to look beyond the shinav, focus on the soul of man, and to embrace this beautiful Leil Emunim, night of Emunah, that we are so blessed, so zocha, so lucky to be a proud member of, and a proud piece of the beautiful chain of our people. Thank you, everyone, and have Chag Sameach.